Welcome to the Daily Wrap Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
May 16th, 2019. Thank you for joining me today. Lots of important things to get into today. I recently put up all the clips from yesterday. We have some very powerful things that relate especially to what we're going to talk about today. But for those that missed some of the discussion about the parts around Venezuela and USS Liberty where the volume had an issue, I've updated it, made it better, put out the clip so you guys can go back and watch that clip for yourself in case you might have missed it. But these stories definitely relate, and it's clearly going into today. The situation with the U.S. and Israel clearly trying to create some kind of an aggression with Iran is only getting more obvious. With the U.S. essentially doubling down after being called out, even by the top British commander, and now essentially bringing Iraq into it, possibly even creating a whole other conflict here with Iraq yet again, with Iraq basically saying, no, you can't do any of this in our country. By the way, you still need to leave, which they've been saying for a long time. The Saudis are now openly accusing Iran for the drone attacks that the Houthis have already claimed responsibility for. But of course, to them, that's the same thing because that's the propaganda. But again, with no evidence whatsoever, just saying, yeah, Iran did it. Trust us. We have more bombings while they are pointing to Iran as the bad guy. Horrible bombings today in Yemen, killing dozens of civilians. And yet Iran's the bad guy since it hasn't attacked anyone in over 200 years and not doing anything that you can point to, such as an obvious killing of over 60 people in Yemen that the U.S. and Saudi Arabia are directly responsible for. But the mainstream media won't tell you that. We'll get to that today for sure, as well as Israel violations of the supposed ceasefire with Gaza, which we already knew was going to happen. But to begin today, a quick update on a story that I think relates to all of this. And again, actually, before I even get into that, one story that I'm going to touch on tomorrow to make sure you all know that I'm not missing it is what happened with the embassy protectors today who have been arrested. Another example of the basic, you know, empire that we're looking at. The U.S. government just acting with impunity, doing whatever it wants, disregarding human rights, constitutional rights, international law. It doesn't matter. They went in, arrested, invaded the embassy, sovereign Venezuelan territory, and arrested the embassy protectors. I will touch on that tomorrow, so you know. But another update for a story that, again, relates to all of this, including that story, coming from anti-war, and this is in regard to Chelsea Manning, before we get into the other stories of today. Entitled, Chelsea Manning will refuse to testify in new WikiLeaks grand jury, which was released before today. That saying outright, I'm going to refuse to testify if they call me back to another grand jury to ask me the very same questions that I already answered before that they want new answers to that I refused to answer last time, so they arrested me. Of course, let her go, and I've now called her back in. And as of today, she has been arrested yet again for telling you the truth. Now, released last week after a 2-month detention for contempt, Chelsea Manning is now going back to jail as prosecutors called on her to testify at another grand jury to say ask her the same questions that she refused to answer, but in fact had already answered before. They just didn't like the answers. Manning was held for refusing to testify at the first anti-WikiLeaks grand jury, and they released her when that jury ended. This new, basically exactly the same jury wanted to ask the same questions that she refused to ask this last time. Now, her lawyers were challenging the legality of the first detention, clearly wildly unconstitutional, especially as U.S. law only allows contempt detentions if there is a chance it will coerce the person in testifying. Chelsea right off the bat said, there's no way I'm saying anything, so this is basically unconstitutional. And clearly it wasn't working. The courts probably didn't want to face establishing that precedent, even though it is the law, so they ended the first detention on a technicality. But as I said today, after all of this, because she refused to answer the same questions, again, breaking news, she has been arrested again. And this is just powerful stuff, understanding that Chelsea Manning is responsible for leaking the information so to showing us what we know. One of the things that kicked off all of our understanding of actual U.S. foreign policy. And again, as we pointed out, not a single person who was responsible for the crimes that she released, that no one denies, everyone acknowledges the information that was released is 100% accurate. No one has yet been even accused or sent to trial, charged, arrested for any of it. Yet, as Jimmy Dore rightly pointed out recently, they continue to attack every single person that showed you this reality. Really, no more chilling examples than this what we can see today. And now she's in jail again, clearly hoping to drag this out until they can use her against Julian Assange. That's the point here. Violating her constitutional rights, but what does that matter to them anymore? It simply does not. Now, on an interesting side note before I move forward, the reason I'm showing you the breaking news notification that I get is because this is the same thing that mainstream media gets. Breaking news from Associated Press, from the French news agency, and Reuters. What's interesting, though, is when these breaking news, you could sign up for the same thing, by the way, you could, as an average person, get the same information at the same moment that the mainstream media does, save for them having an actual source in the ground, which I argue they don't even care about anymore. But what's interesting is that when you search for this, I got this breaking news in my phone, boom, I went out and searched for it, nowhere to be found. But it's there, right? Associated Press put this out. Where is it? Ask yourself that. The reason is the mainstream media wants to be in control of how you get that information. It's out there in the Associated Press, but you can't find it even on Google until after the mainstream media has released it. That's interesting to think about. It's just control of the narrative. That's what it's all about. But now Chelsea is going back to jail for refusing to not answer the question, you understand, but refusing to change her answers. This is coercion. They are literally coercing her with jail time to say something different than she already testified in order to try to attack press freedom, Julian Assange, and any other journalist that actually wants to tell the truth. Could not be more chilling as they point to everybody else for locking up journalists. Look at Maduro locking up journalists. No, he wasn't locking up journalists. He's locking up people who tried to overthrow the government. In this country, yes, we are locking up journalists for telling the truth. That's what you need to recognize. Now let's move on to the other story. I'll follow what happens with Chelsea Manning as well as what happens with Julian Assange. It's a very, very stark, alarming story that I hope you're all paying attention to, regardless of how you feel about Assange or WikiLeaks. As I've often pointed out, even if Julian Assange is controlled opposition, they're still using this to attack journalists. So we can't let it happen. But let's get on to Iran, because this continues to get even more alarming. And again, remember that people like Chelsea Manning are the people that opened up the story, that showed us that this is what the U.S. government does with their foreign policy. Killing people with impunity, lying, cheating, stealing, because we know this is what they do. Coming from the anti-media, U.S. continues to escalate tensions, raising fear of imminent war with Iran. And again, remember, this is escalating tensions after people are stepping up and saying, yeah, I don't think this is really happening. Top commander, British commander in Syria and Iraq, that's where his job keeps him in Iraq and Syria. His very job is maintaining the information and the troop movements on the ground we're talking about here. He's the exact person we should be talking to. He stood up and said, yeah, guess what? There's no Iranian threat. I don't know what the U.S. is talking about. If there is, and if and when it happens, we'll adjust accordingly. But as of right now, I don't see anything they're talking about. And the U.S. just said, yeah, he's wrong. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Trust the people that we have here in Washington as opposed to the man on the ground and just increase aggression, which is what's happening. Increasing aggression with no evidence. Nothing. But that's not new. This is what they do. The U.S. ruling class oligarchy is what I'm talking about. Not the American people, not the United States, but the ruling class that's controlling it, that's taking control of all of this. Now, tensions between the United States and Iran continue to worsen, again, with nothing to show for it, due almost completely to the unjustified escalations by the U.S., stemming entirely from the baseless and unverified claims made by the Israeli government, who has been outspoken about specifically creating a war with Iran, which many people try to pretend is not something that he's even spoken about, but here's a tweet where he says exactly that. Let's get together for the common interest of war with Iran, which he then, of course, deleted and changed. But this is the reality. We know this. He's been open about it, clear about it. But we continue to see this increase based entirely on these lies. We have Spain pulling back their ships mid-deployment because they recognized the U.S. was playing it fast and loose with what was going on, claiming they were going there to do something other than attack Iran. And mid-deployment, Spain goes, whoa, we're pulling back until you do what you said you're going to do. And right out in an open tweet. A lot of people standing up against what's really happening here, which is the unjustified aggression toward Iran. Pretty clear. And with the Trump administration ratcheting up these baseless allegations against Iranians, even using incidents that clearly had nothing to do with this latest round of tensions, such as the Yemen Houthis launching drone attacks against Saudi oil pumping stations. This entirely unrelated act has become interlinked with the U.S.-Iran narrative, simply to create the illusion of increasing aggression from both sides, not just from the West, which is the reality. Now, the U.S. moves to build up their military presence around Iran continue. And officials try to justify that with spurious claims of Iranian plots to attack. Remember, stemming from Israeli intelligence that was handed to Bolton. That's it. That you don't ever get to see. Interestingly, that nobody really gets to see. We just say, trust us. Trust the very people that lied to you about WMDs. Trust the very people that lied to you about Viagra and Libya. Trust the very people that lied to you about babies from cold incubators on the floor from Kuwait. Trust them that lied and lied and lied. The Elliot Abrams who is a war criminal for lying about Nicaragua. These people are all verifiable liars. And we should trust them, apparently, because that makes sense. Now, these allegations have zeroed in on Iraq, interestingly enough, where they seek to present Shiite militias that are there, that have been there, as all of a sudden Iranian proxies all the way across, with zero evidence to support that. Of course it's possible. Anything is possible. It's also possible that they're all U.S. proxies and they're using them to overthrow countries, right? It's anything. All of it's possible. But you know what we need? That little pesky thing called evidence that they never show you. And this was, again, where the top British commander actually working in Iraq and Syria came in and outright stated that this so-called Iranian threat did not exist. And there's not credible threats coming from these militias. He's very clear about that. The people on the ground, where he is. Now, as the author points out, Iraq militias were seemingly just a cynical talking point to justify the U.S. buildup. You know, that's what they do. They lie to you in order to justify their actions. That they don't really care if it's real. This is what they're doing here. And it's been repeated so long that the U.S. is now dialing up pressure on the Iraqi government, hypothetically an ally in all of this, demanding that they get militias in line when there's no real evidence those militias weren't in line already in the first place. It's just throwing out random allegations with nothing to back them up and just kind of seeing what sticks, using what they can when they can. This is just straight up called being dishonest, deceptive. But this, again, if you're watching the show and you pay attention, all the evidence is there for you to see. It's very clear. This is U.S. Foreign Policy 101. Step one, lie. And then adjust accordingly. Now, the claims are built around the idea that the Iraqi militias are actually moving rockets into areas where they'd be within the range specifically of U.S. military bases. Which is interesting. Understanding, first of all, that this idea that they're moving rockets towards, they're close to U.S. military bases that have been stalled close to them. How dare you put your country so close to our bases? I mean, think about how ridiculous this is. They are moving munitions in their own area, and because a U.S. base was placed near this, it's no longer allowed, right? Because the U.S. can just dictate what is and is not allowed in everybody else's countries. Seemingly, that's what's happening today. It's pretty ridiculous that because their base is now right on your doorstep, your moves within your border now is not okay because, oh, that's too close to our base that we placed next to your country. Now, it's not clear if this is the case or not, or just another U.S. foreign policy deception. But the U.S. bases scattered across Iraq, clearly you can see them all the way around, or this is Iran, but it's a similar scenario with Iraq. It probably would be hard for the militias not to have some of their rockets near these bases, wouldn't you say? Now, I wanted to also quickly point out before I continue, and especially considering these propaganda moves that we're seeing, that past tweets that were put out by Donald Trump are suddenly very relevant. But we've seen this before, calling out things that Obama did that he later did himself and did even worse. Here are his tweets. Interestingly, now remember, this is from 2011, 2012. It says, in 2011, it says, in order to get elected, Barack Obama will start a war with Iran. Uh-oh. Next one in 2012 says, now that Obama's poll numbers are in tailspin, watch for him to launch a strike in Libya or Iran. He is desperate. The next one says, don't let Obama play the Iran card in order to start a war, in order to get elected. Be careful, Republicans. How interesting is that? I'm sure the people that support Trump are going to laugh it off and say, how, that's not related at all. Trump would never do that, blah, blah, blah. But of course, anyone that shows discernment, not blinded by the two-party paradigm, can very clearly recognize that he's doing the same thing. Not necessarily claiming that what he's doing is in order to get reelected, but we have to understand all of the propaganda that we know is being presented about Iran, around Iran. This either shows us that Trump is being manipulated or he knowingly is progressing this lie. And you then could say, clearly, based on Trump's own logic, maybe he's doing it to get reelected. Because clearly he thinks that makes sense. This is about finding a way to increase U.S. tensions with Iran. However they can do that. Especially lying. But in the process, he's only worsening already very troubled U.S.-Iraq relations. But as usual, this is about the last thing the U.S. government cares about. Iraq's parliament has been outspoken about wanting the U.S. to leave Iraq immediately. We've talked about this numerous times. They said, you need to leave. You are not welcome here anymore. And the U.S. just kind of stays there. They, you know, actually pass legislation saying, yeah, the U.S. has to go. And they kind of just hang out. Now they're basically kind of attacking them again, verbally. And obviously clearly attacking their ally, which is Iran. And this is why they're saying, you need to leave. Clearly. And the suggestion that the U.S. is going to use Iraq as a starting area for a war with Iran, that is utter nonsense. Unless they plan on waging another war on Iraq to do so. Clearly, as Iraq is saying themselves, they are not allowed to use our territory to launch an attack on Iran. Which, by the way, I pointed out interestingly the other day that this is what this 120,000 plan was all about, right? Bringing all these people in, encircling Iran, and then we'll decide. That kind of doesn't discuss the fact that apparently that means the U.S. thinks it's okay that they can just shuttle in 120,000 troops to all the surrounding countries around Iran. Clearly, Iraq, one of them, says that's not possible. But see, this is what's interesting, is the U.S. doesn't even consider this. They're there. That's their territory. They're going to do what they see fit. Like Donald Trump taking a trip there without even notifying the local government. It just shows you that these are vassal states of the U.S. They do not care or respect these people. You could argue different, but their actions, as I always point out, as Caitlin Johnstone always points out, are what really matter. They can say all they want till they're blue in the face. If they go out and do the opposite of that, it doesn't really matter what they had to say. Now, Baghdad's ambassador to Russia told reporters today that Iraq will not allow the U.S. to use its territory for military operations against Iran, period. It says, quote, Iraq is a sovereign nation. We will not let the U.S. use our territory, according to the Iraqi envoy during the press conference. Now, he said that Baghdad would use its position to act as a mediator and that his country, quote, does not want a new devastating war in the region, which kind of goes without saying. I think that we can see who actually does want war, but the countries that have been suffering through these U.S. wars clearly want no more of it, but are saying you can't use our country. Now, Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif said yesterday during a diplomatic visit to Tokyo that Iran is exercising, quote, maximum restraint after the U.S. pulled out of the deal, which is exactly what anyone really paying attention can see, including some U.S. pundits that have been honest about it, saying that Iran is showing some incredible restraint, not responding, not taking action, similar to the way that Russia did in Syria. Instead of reacting to the U.S.'s provocative actions and then the U.S. using those actions to justify more action, they just kind of waited. And of course got accused by people of being weak or whatever else, but we can see how that worked out. They clearly won in Syria. And this is what we're seeing here, that Iran is choosing not to take the bait, which just shows you to a large degree they're the adult at the table here. Interesting to think about. But no Iraq for this effort, which clearly is a problem for the United States. And how they respond to this is going to be very, very telling. But to move on with the story in regard to Saudi Arabia and Iran, and this is clearly, as I first thought about it, the extension of the PSYOP, the extension of the propaganda effort, the Saudis to either use the attacks the Houthis carried out in general and either bomb their own station or just lied about it or however you want to look at it, or the Houthis did in fact bomb those stations, however you want to look at it. The Saudis then used that to progress the agenda against Iran, which you could argue that that is a connection. But again, there's no evidence to support that except them saying, yeah, that's what happened. Trust us. How many times are people going to believe them when they do that? I really have to ask. And it just blows me away that people take that as they continue to lie and get caught lying over and over and over. But yes, trust them. Coming from the Associated Press, Saudis blame Iran for drone attack amid calls for U.S. strikes. So Saudis are blaming Iran again with nothing. Nothing's changed. There's been no more information, no update. They just, I guess, kind of decided we're going to wait 2 days and then come out and say it. Because it's not like anything new was developed. They want you to think that. They want you to kind of assume that, oh, well, something must have changed because now they're making that. No, they had planned on accusing Iran from the very beginning. As we've been saying for decades, here it comes. Here it comes. Iran, it's on target. General Wesley Clark, I mean, there's any number of things that have said, yes, Iran is there. They plan to take Iran. But we just, you know, ignore that. Because no, today, the Trump administration, oh, it's altruistic and only doing good things. It's all different now, which I find impossible to believe based on the things that they're actually doing. Narrative versus action. Now, Saudi Arabia submitted on Wednesday a letter to the United Nations, the Security Council. This is yesterday. In which it held Iran and the Yemeni Houthi rebel group responsible for targeting their oil facilities on Tuesday. So just outright again, no new evidence. This was yesterday, mind you. So a day after, not even 2 days. And are now openly saying, yes, they did it. This is what our claim is. No evidence. Just this is what we're saying. Now, according to the same source, a joint message was sent from Saudi Arabia and the UAE to the UN Security Council and UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres on the attack and sabotage operation, they're calling it, that occurred last Sunday against four ships in the international sea off the UAE's territorial sea and coasts. And again, this four ships that we're just hearing about, as far as I can tell, I've seen one ship with a dent. Please, somebody show me some evidence of four ships being sabotaged. I still haven't seen it. I argue that really nobody else has either. But the gall here of Saudi Arabia to call on the United Nations to address the drone attacks that really did no damage, didn't hurt anybody, no injuries, no death, nothing. Caused some damage to the pump, they shut it off. They claim it didn't even affect supply. And the gall of them to go to the UN pleading, do something about these dangerous, these Houthis that are bombing us. When the US coalition, chief among them, Saudi Arabia, has continued bombing and killing civilians on a near daily basis in Yemen for years. And they have the gall to stand up and call on the UN to do something about them. This is crazy. Clown world. All over, every single day we're confronted with the absurd fantasy that they're presenting today. And maybe that's just that people are finally waking up to that lie. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's gotten that bad lately. I think maybe people are just finally realizing how we've always been lied to. Either way, it's that backward. Killing these people. And again, one of the stories we're going to finish with today are about exactly that. The bombing of civilians that just happened today. It's truly staggering. And I guess, of course, we're just supposed to ignore how absurd it is to have the actual leading sponsor of terrorism calling Iran the world's leading sponsor of terror, which it did here. In what they sent to the UN. Yes, Iran is the leading sponsor of terrorism, but don't ask us for any evidence of that. We just literally discussed this story on B. Rich's After Hours live show. And the reality of this story, which the link is in the show notes, is unbelievable. A leaked diplomatic cable that's literally from Saudi Arabia's foreign minister to their ambassador in Sri Lanka saying, by the way, don't go to any churches on Easter and hey, get out of the way and make sure you send us, delete all your information. Yeah, because that's not damning. That's not showing you clearly that there's something going on there. But yeah, the media won't touch this. Nobody will talk about this. But this is the reality. This is actual funding terrorism. Not pointing to political groups that you deem terrorists because you don't like their government and saying, yeah, you're all terrorists. Yeah, Iran's military, all terrorists. Hamas, all terrorists. Houthis, all terrorists. Hezbollah, all terrorists, even though they're a political movement that gets voted in and supported by a massive swath of people in their area, right? Unlike the terrorist extremist proxies the U.S. uses all over the world, that Israel uses, that Saudi Arabia creates. Yeah, though that's actual sponsor of terrorism. That's what we're talking about. And again, this story right here has evidence of them literally knowing that they were going to be killing people and said, hey, get out of the way, delete everything. But then you should also ask yourself how something like the Christchurch incident is still being talked about, but the Sri Lanka one kind of fell off the map. Maybe there's a reason for that. And I guess it is offensive to me. Like, I know that it's good to put aside your emotion when we're talking about this, but this kind of thing is incredible because they're knowingly killing people, knowingly allowing people to be put in these positions. And again, what I've said before, not just they're doing it, but then they turn around and stand up and put themselves out as the heroes. God, that offends me. Now today, not only is the Saudi government outright accusing Iran of ordering these attacks with no evidence, as usual, simply claiming that the Houthis are Iran, which is false, but they have now openly called on the U.S., they've called on the U.S. military to bomb Iran in retaliation for something that they can't prove. Does this sound familiar at all? Maybe kind of reminiscent to bombing Syria based on the allegations of the terrorist helmets, and then now we find out that was fake? Yeah, kind of seems like the same thing. We have a government outright saying they're calling on their ally to surgically strike Iran because of things that they say happen that they can't prove, they won't show you any evidence of. How many times will people allow this to happen? A Saudi newspaper, of course, owned by Mohammed bin Salman's brother, openly urges surgical strikes on Iran. Now, the Arab News published an editorial in English on Thursday. Of course, in English, right? Arguing that after incidents this week against the Saudi energy targets, the next logical step, quote, should be surgical strikes. And of course, here's the paper you can see for yourself. And it looks like we just lost the stream. Fantastic. Not a big surprise. I'll repost this when I'm done. But here's the paper you can see for yourself. Iran must not go unpunished for things we can't prove. Shocking stuff. Now, the editorial says U.S. airstrikes in Syria when the government there was suspected of using chemical weapons against civilians, quote, set a precedent. Now, remember, understand what they're saying right there. It says U.S. airstrikes in Syria when the government there was suspected of using chemical weapons against civilians set a precedent. I guess that precedent is that they can just launch attacks against anybody if they suspect them of a crime. Think about what he's saying right there. And this is him calling on the U.S. to do the same thing in Iran right now. It added that it's, quote, clear that U.S. sanctions are not sending the right message. And that Iran, quote, must be hit hard without elaborating on what specific targets should be struck. Hit hard for things we can't prove. The things that we made up. Now, the newspaper's publisher is the Saudi Research and Marketing Group, a company that had long been chaired by various sons of King Salman until 2014, and is regarded as reflecting the official position of the Saudi government. Now, Turki bin Salman Al Saud owns the group and is the brother today of Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Clearly, there's an obvious tie there. Now, with the attack, quote, they claim, proves that these militias are merely a tool of Iran's regime and uses to implement to expansion in its expansionist agenda, it says. A tweet from Prince Khalid bin Salman, the son of King Salman. I don't think they understand what the word proves even means here. So attacks carried out by a group in Yemen that you claim are connected, but you can't show evidence of because they bomb you after you've been murdering their families. That's proof that Iran is Houthi rebels, that they're the proxy. Again, maybe they just don't understand what the word means, or they're just outright lying to you. So you read that and go, wow, proves. Okay, then that I'm sold. That's what they want from you. It's unbelievable. And then even worse that we have mainstream media who regurgitate this without challenging it, you know, which is what a journalist's job is supposed to do, which is why they're not journalists. Now, of course, the obviously unbiased paper went on to quote about three more Saudi officials with the same opinion. Three more. Interesting how, you know, just get the same thing over and over. Get three, four people all to say the same thing. Clearly unbiased. But I guess they just forgot to ask the Yemeni people or the Houthis themselves if these evidence-free allegations were correct. I guess they just forgot to do that. You see, they did not, because they would have told the very clearly that this is not the case and explained why. But this is not about logic here, you see. It's about emotions and manipulating them. And of course, to prove to the world that Iran was the real villain, The U.S. coalition chose to conduct massive airstrikes in Yemen under cover of targeting Iran. And in reality, killing by some estimates over 60 civilians, many of them women and children. Democracy! These are the people they want you to believe are the heroes, fighting for liberty and freedom and liberating people around the world. But here's what they're really doing. Coming from South Front, new wave of Saudi airstrikes kills and injures 77 civilians, including Russian citizens, in Sana'a. Now, there are numerous photos in all of this. Shocking, horrifying photos of dead children, of all kinds of things that I'm not going to show you. One of them, the one that I thought was the one I thought wouldn't get my channel censored is the one that's on the main image today. I will show you some tweets from Hussein on the ground. But understand that if I showed what really happened, showed you the real photos, I would get censored just like I did last time when I showed you a photo of a dead child in Syria. They'll censor you. Because, you know, they can't let you show the reality. But of course, the mainstream media will happily show a fake dead child if it'll progress their agenda over and over and over. But warplanes of the U.S. coalition carried out a series of airstrikes on the Yemeni capital of Sana'a early this morning. Now, the U.S. coalition claimed in an official statement that the airstrikes targeted, quote, legitimate military targets, including bases, workshops, and ammo depots of the Houthis. Now, the coalition even implied that the airstrikes were a response to the recent drone attack on the Saudi oil facility, because we know how those are exactly connected. It says, quote, what the Iranian-backed Houthi terrorist militia have done is a major violation of the international humanitarian law, which raised to the level of war crimes, the coalition statement reads. I'm speechless. I mean, wow. For this authoritarian monarchy, working with the nation that has left a trail of broken countries in its wake while claiming to be rescuing people, to speak of human rights and international law, my God, it shows just how much these ideas have now been weaponized and are today being used by the worst among us as cover for their crimes. As I've shown this many times, openly quoted Mohammed bin Salman, he wants Yemenis to shiver for generations when they hear Saudi Arabia vows to continue targeting children. But we're just supposed to ignore this kind of thing and trust that what Pompeo says is the truth. Kind of the same way that we're supposed to trust what the U.S. says Israel wants, not what Israel actually says they want. Right? We're supposed to ignore that and say, thank you, Bolton, for what we're supposed to believe. I just can't believe that. How many times you've seen on this show of the dead families, entire families being murdered, food infrastructure being bombed, ambulances carrying the already bombed getting bombed by U.S. coalition targeting. And they have the nerve to stand up and say that what they did raises to the level of war crimes. It's hard to even read this stuff sometimes. Now, the U.S. coalition claimed that its airstrikes were carried out, quote, in accordance with international humanitarian law, which is, by the way, what they've always said. And remember, this is actually what they also said after they bombed a bus full of 40 children. But of course, that narrative changed once we forced it into the light and people like Jim Carrey and people actually talked about it and forced them to address it. And then it changed that. Right. But so this is what they say reflexively. We always have to point that out. They come out and they say, this is the truth. And then once they get accused of the lie, they come out and say, oh, well, here's why that was kind of not true. And they backtread. But they say it every time, just like they did before they murdered 40 children. However, essentially all sources on the ground revealed that the airstrikes targeted heavily civilian populated areas in Sana'a. In fact, as I understand it, one of the most heavily populated civilian areas in this country. Now, here is our source on the ground. Hussein al-Bukhaidi, you know, kind of the exact thing the mainstream media does not have, bringing you the truth in real time. And as always, with such obvious and compelling evidence, you should be asking yourself why the mainstream media has not even mentioned this tragedy. Yet when the white helmets, of course, say anything, hell, no due diligence required, report on it. Of course. Why would we even look into what they have to say? Of course, put it out. This coming from Hussein al-Bukhaidi on the ground this morning. Breaking news. Saudi UAE strike on a home in one of the busiest areas in central Sana'a. The home located on a street called Rabat. 8 civilians were killed, including 3 children and 2 women. 24 were also injured, some in critical condition. Now, this was the first. This is him breaking the information as he's getting it. Now, as always, as I always point out, you should take this with a grain of salt like you would any source. Myself, mainstream media, anybody. It's just as likely that somebody is lying in any case you're watching. Just because you don't understand their motives doesn't mean you shouldn't consider that. I know Hussein Al-Boukhaty. I've had him on the show twice. I've had many conversations with him. I trust this man. But yet I still ask myself whether or not this could be true. And I question it and cross-reference it with all kinds of things that I see and come to my own conclusions. But this is nothing new. This is not groundbreaking news. The U.S. coalition does this on a near daily basis in Yemen, murdering civilians on a near daily basis. The next tweet. Number of casualties reached 35 civilians. Saudi UAE strike on residential area central to the capital of Yemen killed 8 civilians, including 4 children, injured 27. The strike targeted a home in one of the busiest areas central Sana'a in Rabat Street, coalition jets still flying over the city. Now remember that they always do what's called double tap strikes, where they circle back and bomb those that are trying to save the ones they just killed or injured, which is an incredible war crime. But they do it anyway. They swing back and they bomb them. They bomb the ambulances. They bomb people trying to save them. Over and over and over this happens. We've shown it repeatedly. And the mainstream media dutifully does not show it to you. In fact, they obfuscate it. They hide it from you. The last one, the last update, breaking news, CCTV footage of the strike. Number of casualties has reached 58. And I believe this is what he meant to say in the last one about the 8 and 4. 8 civilians, 4 children were from one family. So now 58 casualties, 8 civilians, 4 children from the same family. He says 50 injured, including 2 Russian women, which as I understand it, they're being reported that they're Russian citizens, which could very interestingly change this story in a way that includes Russia. Now it says the Saudi UAE strike targeted at home in the same area. I mean, this is really, really hard stuff to understand, that these people's lives are ruined every single day by this stuff. And they refuse to show you what's really going on. As they point to Maduro, as they point to Assad, as they point to anybody else they can get you to look at with no evidence, mind you, while we have documented evidence of war crimes happening all over the place, in particular Yemen. We have groups around the world investigating U.S. war crimes in Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria. And in real time, we're watching them murder families. And I guess that's not important enough for the mainstream media. Here's the video for you that you can see very clearly that this is a obvious residential area. The building back there. And this is confirmed, by the way, by Hussein Al-Boukhaty. Very sad stuff we're talking about here. And then even worse, the worst part of all of it is then they turn around and they tell you with a straight face that what they did was for the good of everyone, that they were fighting for freedom and democracy, that they bombed only military targets. Just trust us. As we have picture after picture after picture of dead children and families, all of it verified by Hussein on the ground, as well as other independent journalists who have already confirmed the story. Where's in the mainstream media? They refuse to cover it. Now, there's numerous pictures in there you can find for yourself. It's all in the show notes. Very sad stuff. Again, all in one family. 4 children in one family. How do they justify this? How do they continue to do this while pretending that it's not happening? While pretending to be the moral authority of the world? I truly do not understand it. Now, the head of the Houthi delegation to the Yemen peace talks, of course, condemned the attack, calling it, quote, an example of military and political failure of the U.S. coalition. Now, the U.S., unsurprisingly, has not commented on the new airstrike so far. They rarely ever do unless they get forced into it, until we can drive enough attention around the story until they are obligated to address it. Otherwise, they'll refuse to even talk about it. But remember, we've talked about this already. We just talked about this story. This is all happening while the U.S. coalition is supposedly working on a ceasefire peace agreement. And the Houthis had already pulled back for 3 days in a row. And the Saudis took advantage instead and bombed Hodeida, killing civilians in the process in order to take more ground. Which was, by the way, confirmed by the UN. But, you know, we don't talk about that. 3 days in a row, the UN said, yes, they're out. Now it's your turn, Saudi Arabia. Pull back. And they said, propaganda, you're lying. Come in, the U.S., we're going to bomb the... we're going to kill Yemeni civilians today. They're literally using the UN peace talks as cover for military action. Now, of course, after the 3 days of being lied to and attacked, the Houthis resumed their counterattacks, which were supposedly the ones on the Saudi oil booster stations, which is what we just saw. But this is how this developed. That they were honoring the deal, pulled back 3 days straight, and the Saudis drove forward with U.S. help and murdered families. It's verified. I covered it then. Civilians died. And of course, they lie again and say they bombed this and that, and nobody looks into it because the media won't talk about it. And finally, when the Houthis said, well, we can't just keep allowing this, they came back in and they fought back. And now they're using that to attack Iran. Using UN peace talks as cover for military action is sinister. Now, again, this is who you support if you back this effort on Yemen. If you back the effort against Iran. If you back the illegal efforts in Venezuela. These people that we're talking about, these governments, these are the villains, ladies and gentlemen, masquerading as heroes today. Even worse, using humanitarian, human rights and international law as a beard for their villainous actions. It's horrifying. And of course, it's not just Saudi Arabia, as I'm sure you're well aware if you watch this show or, you know, have any discernment whatsoever. Coming from Middle East Monitor, Israel violates truce. Levels land in North Gaza. Gee, I can't fathom why the mainstream media hasn't talked about this. They were more than willing to talk about how Hamas was launching rockets, even though we talked about clearly that it began with Israel, which they then later confirmed. But no, we don't talk about that. They refuse to talk about this. But of course, if Hamas were to respond to Israel doing what they did, yes, then they would talk about it. And oh, Hamas launches rockets. Violating the truce. But again, the truce only mattered to stop attacks on Israel. They were, in fact, retaliatory strikes for what they did to Gaza. But it doesn't matter. They don't care about Hamas. They don't care about the Palestinians. They only care about their agenda, their narrative, controlling the information. And of course, power and resources. Now, several Israeli military vehicles raided Palestinian lands this week in the northern besieged Gaza Strip. One reporter revealed that six large D9 Israeli military bulldozers entered dozens of meters into Palestinian lands. You know, during their supposed ceasefire, you know, the de-escalation, they just did this anyway. Clearly, that makes sense, because it's not like the Palestinians would maybe think they might have to respond to the illegal seizure of their land. Nah, that doesn't matter. Now, sources added that Israeli military bulldozers raised and leveled the lands while drones flew overhead. This is military occupation, people. Israeli military incursions inside the besieged Gaza Strip and near the buffer zone have long been a near daily occurrence for these people. Living under military occupation. This is what we're looking at here. Now, the Israeli army also regularly detains and opens fire on unarmed Palestinian fishermen, shepherds, and farmers along the Israeli Gaza fence areas, you know, if they just happen to approach the buffer zone. And worse yet, the Israeli authorities have not even made it clear where the precise area of this designated zone is. And I would argue likely changes it as they see fit. Think about that. So they don't even know where the zone is. They could be thinking they're outside the zone and walk into the new area they change to get shot in the head. And according to Israel, that is allowed. You come near the fence and we'll shoot you. They don't care. I mean, this is the same thing we're talking about in the United Nations with the report that's been introduced and adopted, clearly outlining at least 186 war crimes of killing unarmed people. But, you know, it doesn't matter. The truth doesn't matter. Evidence doesn't matter. It only matters what the powerful have to say. This is the new world we live in that I'm fighting to change. Now, the practice of, you know, just kind of killing these people as they see fit, if they happen to walk into a zone they don't know about, has in effect destroyed much of the agricultural and fishing sector of the blockaded coastal enclave. You know, that's democracy. freedom. These people live in a democracy in the Middle East. No, they live in an open air prison, which is why they can get shot for walking into an area they're not even aware of. When again, this whole area has been under an Israeli air, land, and sea blockade for over 12 years now. Now, don't look at any of this. Just ignore it. It's not important. Don't look at any of it. Ignore the facts. Ignore the deaths. Ignore the documented history and the verifiable statements made by these governments. Just choose to only believe what your government tells you. This is the only way that one can exist in this fantasy clown world in which we find ourselves today. To blindly listen to what they have to say and just shut everything else out. Yes, it is uncomfortable to acknowledge the reality, to accept that you have been deceived, but we cannot truly change this broken nation until we can accept that it is indeed broken. Only then can we actually rebuild and find our way back to what was stolen from the American people by the kind of men who have convinced even themselves, it would seem, that war is peace, ignorance is strength, and in fact, lying is honorable. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Now, I want to make the case for secrecy in government when it comes to the conduct of national security affairs and possibly for deception.
You would lie in order to preserve the truth.
If I had to say something I knew was false to protect American national security, I would do it.
But you took an oath to uphold the Constitution, and the Constitution mandates certain openness and certain fairness. You're willing to do away with that in order to achieve a temporary military goal?
The Constitution's not a suicide pact.
But you took an oath to it.
I don't make any apology for it.